Isaiah 53 and verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Amen. Thus far we read the word of God. And our theme is Christ and his brethren. Christ and his brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ greatly honors his people. He is not ashamed to call them brethren. And God is not ashamed to be called their God. These two things are recorded in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 11, and chapter 11, verse 16. And this glorious truth is borne out as this verse both expands on the Saviour's triumph and also summarizes his sufferings and his great work of redemption that culminated in that triumph. Our Westminster Confession of Faith speaks of the harmony of all the parts of the Holy Scriptures, and this is marvelously exemplified in this verse, each part of which has many counterparts in other places in the Old Testament and also in the New. The liberal scholars have found this passage and this verse so embarrassing that they have even resorted, in connection with this verse, to such futility as to argue that it can't refer to Christ because he was not a warrior. And in truth, the young children here could do better than that. Those who have any true familiarity with the Scriptures know that Christ's coming to save his people is constantly set forth as a conflict in which he triumphs and conquers over sin and Satan and death. But such is the willful blindness of even intelligent men that they engage in such foolishness in order to avoid the truth of God and hold it down in unrighteousness. We are not scorning learning or intellect, not at all. But great intellect must be captivated by Christ and his grace, as it was with Saul of Tarsus, or men since the apostolic age like John Calvin or Jonathan Edwards. It must be under submission to Christ, or else it becomes simply a refined engine of stupidity. In testimony, therefore, of our belief in the inerrancy and complete harmony of the whole Bible, and against those who hold the truth down in unbelief, even those of great intellectual ability but spiritually blind, in testimony for the truth and against error, we shall take our three headings this evening from three New Testament verses, all of which show that this refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. These three verses are, firstly, more than conquerors through him that loved us, Romans 8:27. Secondly, that same Jesus made both Lord and Christ, Acts 2:36. And thirdly, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, 1 John 2, verse 1. Firstly then, more than conquerors through him that loved us. Verse 12 begins, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. Therefore, as the reward that is of his redeeming death, spoken of in the verses just before. This therefore reminds us very much of Philippians 2, where the apostle tells us that Christ was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Here God speaks, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. The word great here, it may be of value to know, the word rendered great is the same word as is rendered many later on in this verse. He bare the sin of many. And in verse 11, my righteous servant shall justify many. Or even back in verse 15 of the previous chapter, so shall he sprinkle many nations. The reason it can be rendered many or great is not difficult to understand. It's a word that indicates magnitude, either of number, many, or of kind or quality, great. And so it can be taken in either sense. And our translators have been governed by the parallel with the next line, he shall divide the spoil with the strong. And so since the parallel line says strong, they have taken this, in this place, they've rendered the word great. But it is well to be aware of that so that we understand the consistent reference to the people, the same body of people. The many, the great, are one and the same body of people, the elect of God, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And yet here Christ has his position among them. I will divide him a portion with the great, or among the great. There is Christ among the great, the many, the great. In fact, the redeemed. And this may sound at first as if Christ is one among many. Well, yes and no. Does Christ share his victory? Not in the accomplishment of it, but in the spoils of it. He does not share the accomplishment of it. He redeemed his people alone. But he does share the spoils, the fruit, the benefits of it. And that is why the next clause says, he, that is Christ, shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because the fruits of his triumph are dispensed among the redeemed. He did it alone, but the fruits are distributed among his redeemed. And when it says he shall divide the spoil with the strong, we might say, what is this? The strong? who are the strong, how can they be called the strong? This refers to the seed mentioned in verse 10. He shall see his seed. And in verse 11, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. My righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. But how are they called the strong? Given that in verse 6, they are anything but strong. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. By nature, they are without strength. By nature, they are filthy, guilty, hell-worthy sinners. How then this attribution of strength to them, of might or of greatness? But this describes not what they are by nature, but what he makes them by his grace. We shall reign with him. And that's why in various psalms and in other places there is this theme of the one and the many, Christ and his people. The seed of the woman in Genesis 3:15, Christ and his people. Christ triumphs. He crushes the head of the serpent, but his people triumph in him, and they shall bruise Satan under their feet shortly, as the apostle says, because Christ's victory is their victory in him. In Psalm 68 and verse 18, Psalm 68, verse 18, thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Here, the exaltation, the triumph of the Lord Jesus is followed by his having received gifts for men. Or, as in Ephesians 4, where it's quoted, given gifts to men. There is no contradiction. Because Christ, by his redeeming work, by his death and resurrection, has purchased gifts to be given to men. He received gifts for them as the purchase of his death, having received the promise of the Father, and he bestows them upon his people. But it's the theme of the one and the many. He triumphs, and they share in the glorious benefits and fruit and spoils of his victory. Psalm 118 and verse 26. Psalm 118, verse 26. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Here, if we can think of David and his men returning in triumph, and the Levites and the priests pronouncing the blessing of God upon them, but it says, it's pointing to Christ and his deliverance. David, in a lesser sense, was the stone rejected of the builders and made the head of the corner. He was God's anointed king. But more fully and beyond all that, it's pointing to Christ. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. The singular and plural are important. And in the older language you can tell the word you is plural. If it were singular, it would be thee, but it's you. So there is one who comes in the name of the Lord, and the one who came to save, but then the blessing is pronounced on the many, so that the triumph of the Christ of God results in blessing upon those who are his. The triumphant Christ and those who are with him. It's further described in Hebrews 2, which we looked at quite some time ago now. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. Hebrews 2 verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. There you have the one and the many. He is to bring many sons unto glory. Both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Then you have the quotation, Psalm 22, verse 22. And then these verses, one of which says, behold, I and the children which thou hast given me, Christ and his people, Christ and those given to him by the Father, Christ and the redeemed. And they share in his triumph, in the fruit of it. So in Romans 8, verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so in Revelation 5, verse 8 and 9, this multitude, which no man can number, worship God and the Lamb, and say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory and power and blessing. And so here in our text, again, it is Christ and his people. Christ alone redeems, but the spoil of the triumph of his victory is bestowed upon all his people. So in Psalm 16, thou wilt show me the path of life, thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, neither shalt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. It's applied to Christ in the book of Acts, but it belongs to his people who are Christ's. Christ is the firstfruits of them that sleep. His people are heirs of God and joint heirs in him. Too little attention is given often when Isaiah 53 is handled to the triumphant certainty of the outcome of Christ's sufferings. Christ's sufferings are wonderfully described, but so is the fruit and the outcome of those sufferings. Again and again, the effectiveness and the certainty of the effectiveness of Christ's redeeming death is declared. He shall see of the travail of his soul. My righteous servant shall justify many. And here he shares the spoils of victory with his people. Those he died for, they are and will be effectually called, justified, adopted, sanctified, glorified. He purchased these blessings. He will bestow these blessings on all those for whom he purchased them. And even the spiritual gifts given to individual members of the Church of God for the building up of the whole, even those gifts are the fruit of his death. That's why Psalm 68 is quoted in Ephesians 4:11 as applying to the exalted Christ bestowing the gifts of the Spirit upon his Church. Those gifts in particular in that place for the ministry of the word, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Even these gifts bestowed on individual members for the benefit of the whole, and all the blessing of God upon those gifts and the ministration of them. It all comes as the fruit of the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every spiritual privilege and blessing is the fruit of Christ's death. All that pertains to life and godliness in this world, the ordinances, the fellowship of the saints, the blessing of God upon them, all comes from Christ's triumphant redeeming work and culminates on in eternal glory. And as the Redeemer, he governs all in the interests of his people. That's why we are called more than conquerors through him that loved us. We don't just get through. We don't just get through troubles, tribulations, trials, and afflictions. We don't just get by. God orders these things for the good of his people, for their sanctification and for their blessing. And so they are more than conquerors. They don't just overcome. These afflictions are made to actually be a means, an instrument of blessing to the people of God. That's why they're called more than conquerors. Secondly, that same Jesus made both Lord and Christ. That same Jesus. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. That same Jesus is made both Lord and Christ. Not only so, but it is because of and as the outcome and culmination and reward of all his suffering and contradiction of sinners and being stricken of God and afflicted, it is the outcome of all that, that same Jesus who was crucified is made both Lord and Christ. But as if to make it absolutely clear, there is yet further recap of his great work of suffering and redemption. Because it goes on, because he had poured out his soul unto death. Once more, the nature of Christ's death is described, because this work is glorious and it is dear to God. This work supremely displays God's glory in the fullness of all his attributes. God's glory is displayed in all his handiwork and all that he does. God always acts as himself, but that glory is supremely displayed in the salvation of sinful men, which things angels desire to look into, because they love the God whose glory is manifest in it. Well then, once more, his work is described. He hath poured out his soul unto death. He exposed his soul to death. That's the idea of laying bare or pouring out as he laid down his life for the sheep. He, as it were, offered his soul, his life, and laid it bare as he offered himself to bear the vengeance of God. The drink offerings were poured out before God, or else the idea is of his willingly giving his life, exposing himself to death and to the wrath of God. And he was numbered among the transgressors. This verse is referred to in the Gospels. For example, in Mark 15, verse 27 and 28, "And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled which said, and he was numbered with the transgressor." His position between two thieves was a sample of a general truth, that he was numbered among the transgressors. He was numbered. The form of the word there suggests he caused himself to be numbered. And his position between the two thieves, as it were, is a sample and a declaration of his being the representative of guilty sinners. Those two thieves were very public transgressors. They were transgressors even in the eyes of men. And so Christ was visibly numbered among visible transgressors, not because he came to save only great public transgressors, but in order that he should be visibly identified with those who were visibly transgressors. Because he himself, though no transgressor, was bearing the transgression of his people. He bore the sin of many. This explains what we have at the end of the previous chapter, in chapter 52, verse 13. "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider." He shall sprinkle many nations. What is all this? Well, here's the answer. He bare the sin of many. Many from all nations of the earth. And so he shall sprinkle many in all nations. Then thirdly, we have an advocate with the Father. We have an advocate with the Father. The verse closes, "and made intercession for the transgressors." Made intercession. That word is derived from a word that means to cause to reach. And so the idea is to cause someone's plea to reach someone's ears. Christ intercedes for those for whom he died, and their prayers are caused to reach the ears of the throne of God. John 17 and verse 9. John 17 and verse 9. "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." Verse 20. "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Christ intercedes and causes the cries of those who trust in him to be heard and accepted with God. It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now then, That means when we come to God through him, when we come to God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, resting and relying only upon the merits of Jesus Christ the righteous, that he causes our cry to be heard by the majesty of heaven, by God himself. Just imagine, just think of that, that we poor sinners on earth, with nothing in ourselves to recommend us, altogether undone, ruined, guilty, filthy, that when such sinners as we, when we come to God relying only on Christ and what Christ has done, and call upon God to be merciful to us, to cleanse us and to forgive us, that Christ Jesus makes our plea to be heard by God. That is why you must come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, but am I qualified to come to God through Jesus Christ? Well, what qualification is needed in order to come to God through Jesus Christ? Well, the answer is given in our text. The word is transgressors. That word transgressors, Christ was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Being a transgressor is your ground and qualification for coming to Christ. You are a man, you're a woman, you're a boy, you're a girl. Christ came to redeem from amongst men, not angels. You're a human being, you're not an angel. You're not a fallen angel, you're a fallen human being. Christ came as the redeemer of fallen, sinful human beings. He took not on him the nature of angels, he took on the seed of Abraham. And you are a transgressor, a sinner in need of forgiveness and salvation. And that is all the qualification you need to come to God through Jesus Christ. There is nothing in the offer of the gospel that hinders or discourages or drives you from him. The only thing that keeps you from Christ is an evil heart of unbelief. For Christ receives all who comes to him, who come to him, and promises to do so. So you do qualify to come as a fallen human being, as a sinner. You say, but is that all? Yes, it is all. The qualification required is not knowing that you are an elect sinner, because you don't know that, and no one ever did before coming to Christ. It is not by knowing that you are a sufficiently convinced sinner, because that's a wild goose chase. How will you ever know how convinced you must be? It is not by trying to repent first and then come to Christ, because no one ever did that. It is in coming that we repent. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. It is as we apprehend the mercy of God in Christ Jesus to such as are penitent that we turn from our sins. As Christ is evidently set forth and crucified among you, you must look upon him who is here. And then you will mourn in true repentance for all your sins. You must come as a transgressor. You must come to this all-sufficient Savior who receives and cleanses and makes accepted with God all who come unto God by him. This is the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we all appear before God in judgment, You will not be able to say that you did not hear the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have heard it, many of you, many times. If you die in your sin, then it will not be because the gospel was never preached to you. It has been preached to you, and it is preached to you this very night. The truth as it is in Jesus, that Christ is a receiver of guilty sinners, of every guilty sinner who comes to God by Him. You must come to God. You must come to God God's way through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And blessed is that people who come to God by Him. They enter in to the things concerning their peace. They have peace with God. They enjoy the spoils of the triumphant Redeemer. And our Lord Jesus Christ, who triumphed alone, makes all His people to be more than conquerors through Him that loved them. And that same Jesus is made both Lord and Christ, and they have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous.
Amen.